We are Science Fiction Remnant, Season 2, a podcast for sci-fi lovers spanning across books, movies, TV shows, and games. Music provided by the Atlas.
BlindKnowledge.com
2023, Southwest Florida, SpaceCon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Science Fiction Remnant, Season 2. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that you find this episode as exciting to listen to as it was for us to create for you. But before we start this episode, I want to take this opportunity to present to you some podcasts we think you might enjoy.
Welcome to CMcBee, home of Chunk McBeef Chest. This is a podcast where I take stupid questions way too seriously. Like, what if Bruce Banner put on adamantium pants and then transformed into the Hulk? What would happen? I answer that question definitively. If vampires are undead, that means they don't have a heartbeat. Can a vampire get a boner? I answer that question definitively. I also examine some of the most amusing musings on the internet and editorialize and take them way too seriously. Join us for CMcBee, the podcast from Chunk McBeef Chest.
Hey, this is Sam Witwer.
Hey, this is Will Wheaton.
I'm Armin Shimmerman.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol Baskin.
Hi, this is Aaron McCarty.
Hi, this is Mark Pellegrino.
And welcome to the FSF Popcast, your home for the all-nerdy, no-dirty interviews with people in our sci-fi and pop culture world. You can find us on your favorite audio podcast providers and, of course, our YouTube channel.
Hello, and welcome to Science Fiction Remnant. I am Robert, your host.
And Gio, Captain Chaos.
Do you guys want to see a lot of cosplays? Cool cosplays. Great content creators and vendors. Yes. And lots of sand, sweat, and mosquitoes.
Because usually first reactions are different than once you are involved. Like right now, your thoughts and your reactions are going to be completely different than the ones that you had when the door was open and you saw this for the first
time. Yeah, and if you ask that to me when I'm having a bad day, too, it's going to be different. It was fun, man. I mean, like I said before, my way to put it into words is like, imagine that I can physically go and enjoy or interact with what you do when you want to go by, this is sci-fi hashtag, for example. Yes. You want to go and just chat with people that enjoy the same things that you love. Exactly. Open topic, you know? And yep, that's what you get to see here. You get to see here people that love the things that you love, and they are living it, literally.
Yes, yes.
So it's freaking cool. I mean, it's like it's like a kid in a toy store.
Definitely. I mean,
without money, because you had to buy shit.
And you know,
but it's fun, man.
Captain Chaos, he puts a really good point into this, because in every episode, if you have listened to season two, from the very first episode one, we have that segment called This is Sci-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
And this is basically all about that. Okay, this is Sci-Fi. It's a hashtag that we had created. And we encourage not only the fans that love sci-fi as much as we do, but if you're a creator of sci-fi content, to follow and post. And it's all about discovery, and it's all about the conversation. So cons, and this is the reason why I'm bringing this up, is because he has, Captain Chaos has a very good point when he mentions how a con is so similar to the hashtag This is Sci-Fi. Because when you follow the hashtag, you have the conversation with the people that follow, the people that love, the people that create that content. And when you're in a con, you're face to face with those people that have that love for that one thing that you love so much. And you can have that real life interaction, real life conversation with the people right there and there, face to face.
It's like, it's hard enough when you're trying to socialize, like click good chemistry with people. Yeah. And when you go to a con, it's like, you're just heighten your chances to strike that luck.
Hello, my name is Robert. We're from Science Fiction Remnant Podcast.
Nice to meet you. My name is Daniel.
Aaron, and can you tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah, of course. So these are my Daleks, both of them. I originally commissioned this one. I have put so far over 250, close to 300 hours of work on this one, mostly on electronics. I've also done repainting.
Amazing.
It's got a hinge mechanism that I can actually lift it up so that I can get inside of him.
Oh, wow.
And
that's badass.
There is a motorized wheelchair in there. I've got the voice changer to sound like the Dalek and everything.
Damn.
It's got a handle up at the top for me to move the eye stalk. I can move the arms independently. And the one thing is, these Daleks unfortunately can't go upstairs. It's true to the plastic
Daleks. Awesome, awesome.
There's elevators.
There are elevators, but most of the time at conventions they're cramped. However, you can fix that by exterminating the occupants.
Things that you didn't know, you get to enjoy it because, I mean, it's artfully done, it's enjoyable.
Yeah, and it, for all of you out there who are not familiar, I recommend you download The Mission of the Men so you get a little sense of our very best friend here, Paul. He was in that episode. Great episode, by the way. Really deep thoughts in that episode. So if you watch The Next Generation, The Mission of the Men, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, I invite you to, you know, if you can watch just one episode, just watch that one.
My years, I started going to cons at the age of 16. One of my first cons was the Orlando Mega Con many, many years ago.
That sounds like fun.
Great con to go for the first time.
It's like an international venue though, right?
Yeah, it's a big one, yeah. It's one of the bigger ones, but not like a New York con or you know, the one in...
Sounds to me like the biggest ones, and I would like to go, is like something like Vegas or...
Vegas.
L.A.
L.A. You know,
San Diego Comic-Con.
San Diego Comic-Cons, yeah.
Mm-hmm. New York is one I have on my list. I'm being from New York City.
There's one in Atlanta. And I can't remember the name.
Well, probably talking about Dragon Con. That's a
still good.
Yes, yeah, that's one I haven't been to yet. But
Dragon Con.
I've done Baltimore, Tampa. They kind of blur together. I've done a lot of little ones throughout the state of Florida. And
Alligator Con.
They might
Jeep Wrangler Con.
So if you gather from our conversation so far, you have the full range right here. You have from the noob to the medium to the expert on cons.
and once you do one con, it's never the same. The communities that come together that form these cons, the fans, the passion, it's always energetic. It's always great to be part of it because, like Giancarlo said, Captain Chaos said, you know, it's like-minded people and like-minded people will show you things that they like, and you're probably going to become a fan of something new too. So
I was able to bring him to Comic Con. Can you tell us a little bit about your store and, you know, where people can find you?
Yeah, it's called Reflection Comics. It's in Punta Gorda, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hole-in-the-wall classic comic shop. You know, it's not huge. I don't go way out there when it comes to, you know, like keep it pop culture. Yes,
mm-hmm.
It's like a badass. It's like you come to me.
Yes. But I have everything from 1950s all the way up until stuff that I can't put out until next Wednesday. And everything in between. 12 centers to dollars to $5 comics.
Awesome.
And I started this when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
And this is a passion job. 39. And here we are. I've been open for about a year and 7 months. And last year and 7 months, I haven't had a job. And it's amazing.
When you say that,
you know, when they get that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? I was like, well, I want to be an animator or a comic book shop owner. They're like, haha, I get a real job. Well, here we are.
Yeah.
So you make drawings and like sketches?
Yes. Every
I do too.
Every awesome. Every Saturday night, Me and a group of comic book artists, all of these guys, Josh, Melvin, Marvin, excuse me, Jose, and Mike, we all get together in my store, I order some pizza, and we just draw.
All of those,
everything right there. He's drawing up.
I've never done something like that.
No?
Yeah. I've been drawing since I'm like 7 years old.
All we do is just clown on each other and draw all night. Comic book shops, is, I would like to call them, they're an endangered species right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the only comic book shop from Fort Myers to here.
I think that digital media, like, you got digital media and kind of kill it, and now it's coming back.
Yeah.
Because you have, like, I mean, there's a difference between having your Kindle, which is great and convenient, and filling the paper and having it.
Exactly, man. Like, you can go digital, but it's just like you say, there's a certain...
It's intangible if you want to put something, you know?
Exactly, you know?
Like, it's not going to age, and it's just like a good liqueur, you know? It's like, you can't imagine they have a good liqueur, but when you have it there and it's aging, it's going to take that with the years, you know?
It's just something organic.
It becomes more rare with the years, too. It's nice. It's the appreciation of it.
And then you have the comics that came out, like, for a limited time that you can't get in media. Like, for example, he took my House comic.
Huh?
House 2 comic.
Yeah?
And I was freaking out.
Oh yeah.
Because I can't find it in digital.
I think I
would. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Awesome. Nice, well, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome.
I'm going to be checking you out, guys.
Please
I love art, so you got a fan here.
Talk to my guys down there. He has a comic book that's, in the setting of the comic book, is in Fort Myers.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's called, it's called Hardcore. Main character is 8-Ball. And like I said, the setting is in Fort Myers, and all of these guys get superpowers from the Red Tide that, right? I know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that also went into the air and the waters of the Okeechobee River.
Oh,
so
I like
it keeps, he keeps it real.
It's sci-fi.
It
sounds sci-fi.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Right there. Check him out.
He was telling us about your comic book. It sounds very sci-fi.
It's sci-fi, it's urban, it's right here in Fort Myers.
That's what we like.
I'm a book, I colored it, I lettered it, I did everything myself.
Well, he was kind of giving us a little bit of background on the story.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that really appealed to us and original about is the fact that you bring it home.
Yeah.
You keep it home.
I keep
and
it
the story is also home.
Yeah.
So, do you mind telling our audience a little bit? I mean, it doesn't have to be just an overview of what the story is about.
Well, basically, my comic book explains to you exactly what's happening with the Red Tide that comes through Lake Okeechobee and stuff like that.
Awesome.
Due to that Red Tide having like these xenospores into it,
mm-hmm.
that's coming through from this leakage from a ship that actually crash landed in Lake Okeechobee. So, under Lake Okeechobee is a crashed spaceship. Okay,
and the stuff.
And
it's our show, yes.
And it's those spores and stuff are leaking from that ship. So that's contaminated the Red Tide, made even worse. It's contaminated the land, the food, and everything that we're beginning from around here. It's in us. Some people it changed for the good, some people it changed for the better, and some people are just carriers of that DNA that's in their system.
And it makes total sense because it's like one thing is not going to make the same effect on everybody.
Exactly.
Because it's on the organism.
Yes. Exactly. So those who get affected, some of them come out with superpowers and stuff. Those are on. And then the others that come out, sometimes it mutates their body because their body couldn't handle it. And other people, like I said, are just carriers.
Everything is superhero like, culture, man.
Exactly. Like, we got enough superheroes in New York.
Let's
bring something to Florida.
Bring it home.
I love that.
I like that.
So let's bring some superheroes to Florida.
So I invite everybody to go in and purchase the anime.
I mean, there's video games, bro. I love video games. Who doesn't?
Oh, we got to play, what was that game?
It was Mario AR. So it's like, imagine you play Mario Kart. I didn't realize this till actually I dropped the remote. I picked it up again. And then I saw what was going on the stage behind us. That there's actually Mario little carts that you're driving remote control that look like you're playing the video game.
And it's
I didn't realize
it's a course.
Yeah, no, I did not realize that until I dropped it. Then I went and put the camera to record it. So I put like a GoPro like in a corner of the track so you can see the real little cars. But it was pretty kick-ass to see even him
awesome.
Walking around and like picking it up. When he was doing that, I was imagining actually the little turtle in the cloud picking up the cars. It was fun, man.
The poor guy kept on trying to get me out of the ditch. But it was really interesting because every time I crash, you see the guy running to where my cart is in real life and moving that little cart back into the course.
Yeah.
So it was really, really, really fun.
It was fun, man. I mean, I'm still having fun. And I mean, I want to go to another one. I actually was talking to Paul. There's going to be one in Tampa.
Yes.
I might make a disarrangement or something, but I want to go.
What is the challenge here?
For me to actually school him on Street Fighter.
Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
I'll go in a kayak and pick you up, babe.
Hey, we should go pick him up.
But then we're gonna come back and I'm gonna be whipping you and just screaming, paddle!
Fantasticarium, and we specialize in a more of a fantasy theme. This is actually our first time doing SpaceCon, but we decided to branch out, meet some new people, so we're loving it here. But we do tend to do a lot of pirate festivals, a lot of fantasy and steampunk conventions. We actually just held a fantasy masquerade ball down in Miami at MusicCon 2 weeks ago. That was a huge success.
What happened is I came through a wormhole and I was supposed to land in the year 1521, but Jose was too busy making burritos and he got the year wrong.
Oh my God.
It went to 2021. Now I'm stuck.
This sounds very Final Fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah. We got here to Earth. We're like, wrong year, Jose. I told you, get off of the burrito.
So we're part of the Royal Chessmen. We do stage combat and theater shows in Fort Lauderdale and South Florida.
Awesome. Show that through the camera.
There you go.
There you go, guys. Go check them out.
We perform living chess match games, live steal, all sorts of fun stuff like that.
Out of all the stuff that we recorded and all the interaction, I guess we can touch on every one of the ones if you like, but what would be the next one that brings to your attention that really impressed you about this experience that you're having today?
I mean, the ones that I've enjoyed the most is I enjoy every single one of them because then you get to talk to the individuals that are organizing it, and there's you get to do that. You get to see that they are like-minded individuals, and you share a lot of interest. Things that you like to do that they like to do, but like it's not easy to find it out there. But it's like you go to a place that becomes like a, you can say like a segue where everybody reunites, and you know that most people are gonna. I enjoy the most the one that do super realism,
yeah.
Because not only we talk about the things that we like, but we get to talk about things that are more niche. Like he telling me like his technique for what he does, how he do it. So it's like. It's even though we don't know each other, it's just like two friends that are telling each other how to work better on art and talking about things that you don't get to really enjoy talking about with anybody out there. It's like you going to somebody and just talking about programming and doing cool stuff that even though I'm a donkey doing, for you, it's something that you enjoy doing. It's highly interesting.
You really talk about your passion.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what this is. That's exactly why. You know, the passion about the con is you get to, I mean, you might not be into a particular thing, but there's so many things in the con that you will find that one thing, and you're going to have that deep conversation about that thing that you love.
How about yourself? What's your name?
My name is Brian.
Robert.
Nice to meet you. This is my wife, Caitlin. And we are the Southwest Florida Ghost Corps, your friendly neighborhood Ghostbusters.
Awesome.
Here in Southwest Florida. We started cosplaying the Ghostbusters out of fun. A bunch of our friends have franchises all the way up in like Orlando and Tampa. We're like, hey, there's no one near this area. So we're like, all right, I have a white car. Let's just paint it red with the red stripes and slap a logo on it. And now we're a full-fledged thing.
Awesome. When did you guys start it?
Last October.
Last October?
Yeah, it was officially in November of 2022. That's when we made the Instagram, came up with the logo. Brian started painting his car. Slimer came from Facebook Marketplace. Stay Puft came from Facebook Marketplace. The smaller Stay Puft was a wedding present, actually, and it was just all a team effort.
Awesome, awesome. It's freaking awesome. And can you tell our fans where they can find you?
Okay, so actually, if you pan right over to our label right here, we are SWFL Ghost Core on both Facebook and Instagram.
There you go.
The QR code leads to our link tree, which has everything in it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is so really cool. So can you tell our audience about, you know, what you do, where your store is at, you know, a little bit about yourself and how they can find you?
Sure, definitely. So first of all, my name is Adlin, and this is my partner, Ignacio Leon. So we decided to start the business together more than anything as a, we started as a hobby. And we decided, why not make it into a business? So we picked up steam and we decided to do that.
We originally started selling Japanese cards for Pokemon.
Oh, uh-huh.
Nice. And then we expanded, as you could see, into anime figures.
Oh my God.
So we have several distribution from international and in the US now.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's the base of the operation right
now. As you can see, we have Pokemon cards, White Schwartz. These are the really popular cards that have the signature.
Nice.
Those are the signature anime cards that have actual signatures from the voice actors.
Nice.
Ooh.
That's super cool.
That's it, man.
Thank awesome. And where they can find you? Are you guys local? Do you guys have a website?
We actually are from Naples, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we sometimes set up at the market. That's Flea Masters Flea Market in Fort Myers.
Okay.
Which is
okay.
Right down here. So if you're local, you
awesome.
Can find us.
Awesome.
We're there every Sunday, or you can find us online, liongamingstore.com.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Also, if you wanted to get a shot of our banner, we have our little QR code as well if you guys wanted to check us out online.
Oh my God. I taught Captain Chaos something today.
And then here's the thing. You've been trying to get me to D&D, even though I haven't just done it. But I can appreciate the effort, passion, and time that it takes to build your set, to paint your little figurines.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people actually order them to get 3D printed, then curated it, then paint them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think what's more amazing than making art and then play with it?
Yes,
the story that goes
and make it. Yeah, and make a custom story. Like, it's not like you play a campaign that is the same every time. No, you're doing something that it's just like you're making your own journey.
Yes.
A quest. I mean, how cool is that?
And they're your own, because I mean, you could get the same figurine, and yours is always going to look different than someone else's.
Yeah,
that's because it's your thing.
Exactly. You know, it's like most of the time I've seen people that they make it to order. So it's like, mm-hmm. Before you show me, I didn't know you can have a character sheet where you create your character.
Yeah.
And giving all the details, his background, why he's who he is, where he comes from, mm-hmm. his powers. And then making that figurine is like, you're doing really, it's like reliving your childhood,
yeah.
all the memories.
And let me explain for the audience why I said that I taught something to Captain Chaos today.
Because nobody can teach me anything.
He did not know what Robotech was. And the way that I explained it, you remember how, and of course, that might be wrong, but it's just a dumbed down version for him to understand. And you remember what I said it was?
D&D and robots.
Mecha and D&D.
Mecha and D&D, yeah.
So if what you're a mecha lover?
Eh?
What could go wrong?
Nothing.
Yeah, there's a Battletech project in Southwest Florida. Exactly, the Legends, the Veterans, the Old Guard. And we're slowly starting to get those guys to come out. And they've got grandkids, nieces, nephews, you know, their kids that they're also bringing with them. Being like, hey, look, this is something I did when I was your age. You want to try it? And they get involved.
That's one thing that I like about it. It's like it reunites generations together.
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yes.
And it makes you all together.
Sorry?
Everybody gets to enjoy it together, like, same age range, even if you're a generation apart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know? I mean, there's five-year-olds at play. So, and it's not a very hard game to pick up. It's been around since the early 80s. 1982 was the first edition. So it's very long-standing. It's even been out longer than Warhammer.
Did it look like that when, like, 1980s?
No, so originally when it first came out, all of your map boards were hex-based.
Yeah.
So they would be a lot smaller than this and have little hex designs on them which your units could move through. And the original units were actually cardboard cutouts.
Okay. Ooh. What about like the design of the mechas? Like, did they all look the same, or like they have evolved towards the years? Like, you can see that
they've evolved over the years, but it's taken a lot of time for them to get to the point they're at now. Due to a very complicated copyright issue that I'm not even going to start to get into, they had to change a lot of the core mechs designs at one point.
Okay.
And that was a very controversial thing in the community. And eventually, slowly over time, they've still been hitting those designs again. They've gotten to a point where a lot of people are very happy with how they look. And some mechs, depending on which person owned the franchise at the time, have multiple different generations of design factors going into them.
Okay.
And even between the video game adaptations, because of licensing rights, the mechs get designed differently in there, and due to the 3D modeling and 3D printing community becoming much more prevalent, people will make replicas of those that are in the video games because they like the way those ones look better.
That's the passion for what he does.
And it was highly interesting because I was seeing them on the other table actually using a measuring tape.
Yes.
But there were not spaces marked on the board. So I was asking him, like, how do you guys measure, like, movement and things like that? Like, oh, no, we used a measuring tape for that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, okay.
And then if the terrain gets in the way, you have to...
No, when I saw them, you know what was my first thought measuring? Oh, no, they're measuring, like, the physics or the attack to see if we made it. That's what I was thinking. That's how far off, like, my understanding of it. But it's probably because I haven't really played much of it.
Yeah. And I learned something, too. Okay? I always play Mech Warriors. And if you're into gaming, especially for the computer, I think it was the 90s.
But Warhammer 4000 doesn't count, right?
What was that?
Warhammer 4000
Well, that's completely different.
Warhammer 4000, I think it is.
40K.
Yeah. That doesn't count.
No,
mecha, right?
That's completely different.
I don't know if it counts as mecha, but it's definitely the same thing.
Take your pure measure. What I learned today is that Mech Warriors is Robotech for tabletop. And I was really shocked because that's one of my favorite computer games. Obviously, they have it now for all over the different mediums. I don't know if you ever played Mech Warriors.
I think I was telling the guy that I think that there's like two and the Xbox Game Pass. And I mean, sometimes I'm bored and like I just try new things. So I'll go and like with the cloud gaming, which I love. It's like you don't really have the compromise like, oh, I have to download it or I have to buy it. It's like just
hit the button and go.
This is one of those things, man, that you just sorry that it's gotta end, you know. But then you're looking forward to the next one. Now I'm looking forward to Tampa.
Oh, yeah. So I guess we're going to have to start planning now and bring this kind of content to you guys.
We'll make it like a special episodes of our podcast, Captain Chaos Adventures, Misadventures in Comic-Con.
Captain Chaos Con Adventures. Well, this is all for now. Reach out to us and let us know what do you think about this episode. Share your comments and let us discuss this episode and any ideas on topics you would like us to discuss on future episodes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Sci-Fi Remnant. Would you like to join our Discord server? The link is posted in the description. Remember, if you like this show, do share, rate and review on your favorite podcast platform of choice. Doing this will help others find and enjoy this show. Thank you. See you next time. This is Science Fiction Remnant, signing off.